This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Jeff DeBerry is here, our Capitol Bureau Chief, and we're going to get a legislative update in just a moment. But first, I want to bring you up to date on a story we reported yesterday. We spoke with Associated Press reporter Mitch Weiss about a piece he investigated into alleged physical and emotional abuse at the Word of Faith Church in Spindale. You remember he spoke with 43 congregants, former congregants, who told him about the beatings they say they were regularly given by church leaders, ostensibly to drive out demons. Well, part of that story included alleged obstruction of justice by two assistant district attorneys in three nearby counties. They're church members. They reportedly coached potential witnesses in previous investigations into the church. Today we learn that the two ADAs, Frank Webster and Chris Back, are no longer working for the district attorney. District Attorney David Lerner had said in a statement today that he can't let the integrity of his office be called into question. He had previously asked the SBI to look into the allegations against Webster and Back, and it's still not clear whether today's announcement means they were fired or suspended, but we wanted to bring you up to date. Meanwhile, state lawmakers have advanced a handful of measures that would remove the powers, or some of the powers, of the governor. One of them would shift the ability to fill court vacancies from the governor to the legislature. Another would cut the state appeals court from 15 to 12 members by eliminating, yes, the seats that have been filled by the governor. Republicans say it balances the responsibilities of the executive and legislative branches. Democrats say it's a power grab. Meanwhile, the legislature continues to tout a bill that would change opiate prescription guidelines. That proposal, another proposal, would yet again raise the age of juvenile jurisdiction. So this measure would prosecute offenders who are 16 and 17 years old as juveniles rather than adults, something that happens here in New York State and nowhere else. Here to break this down and much, much more is legislative reporter and Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Let's start with the proposed changes to judicial appointments. Why are the Republicans saying we need to change this?
Because they say that this is no longer... So there are three bills. We'll start with the appellate court bill. The state's second highest court, the appellate bench, has 15 judges. It went from 12 to 15 judges back in the year 2000. That was under Democratic rule. And Republicans now want to roll it from 15 back to 12. They say that the appellate court simply doesn't have the caseload where they need these 15 judges anymore. We should note that in the state of North Carolina, appellate court judges retire. They have to do so by law when they turn 72. Three judges will be retiring in the next 18 months, and those positions would be, under present law, they would be filled by the governor. He would appoint the newbies there. That's one reason. As for the other two bills, which deal with appointments to district court vacancies and special superior court vacancies, Republicans have said that this is something that needs to have happened years ago. They don't like that the governor gets to make these appointments. And we should note that Republicans have offered up proposals like this when Republican governors were in office. This is as much about partisanship as it also is about power, and the legislature wants power.
Now, here's Republican State Representative Justin Burr of Stanley County. He's speaking in support of that bill that would strip judicial appointment powers from the governor.
Currently, many of these vacancies are filled in secret behind the iron fence of the governor's mansion with no involvement from the public. I've had a problem with that for years, and this really will address my concern.
Now, of course, the fishy part is some of those years were the past 4 years where the Iron Gate was controlled by a Republican governor.
And to be totally fair, Justin Burr, who is a Republican who likes to make some waves, he's spoken out critically of his own speaker, the speaker in his party, did try to push some of these proposals forward in recent years. They didn't go anywhere. It appears as though these do have more support. They breezed through committee and through the House chamber in just a matter of days. And that's where we are. This has gone from the House to the Senate, and Democrats certainly not happy about it. One of the points that they made this week during floor debate was this is an efficient court. The Court of Appeals has a very low rate of cases being overturned by the state Supreme Court, and Mickey Mishaw, a Durham Democrat, said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Democratic Representative Darren Jackson, who's the House majority, a minority leader, I should say, from Wake County, had a similar argument.
No one, I can tell, has asked us to do this. Not the Court of Appeals, not the Supreme Court, not the AOC, not the NC Courts Commission, not the Chief Justice's Commission for the Administration for Law and Justice, not a lawyers group, not the business community, nobody.
Democratic Representative Darren Jackson. So what's the likelihood this will pass? I guess we're talking about three measures.
Yeah, HB 239, 240, and 241. It appears as though they will move through the Senate and they will go to the governor, which is interesting on a couple of levels because you would expect the governor, Democrat Roy Cooper, to veto these. If they come back to the General Assembly, it's not clear if they have veto-proof majorities yet. They didn't hit that 72-vote threshold yesterday. And then, as we've seen with other separation of powers issues, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lawsuit pertaining to some of this in the next couple of weeks.
In which case, we would need more judges, I think, just a joke, just a little bit of political humor. So, meanwhile, state lawmakers again, and this is a proposal that has been alive in the state legislature for many, many years, raise the age. North Carolina, one of only two states that prosecutes all 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds as though they were adults.
That's right. Under this proposal, the authority for 16 and 17-year-olds moving through the court system would go to the juvenile arm, and they would not be tried as adults. This is something that, as you mentioned, has already been altered or changed or established in 48 other states. It appears as though this has pretty good support this time. It has died in the Senate in recent years. The indications are that this will move pretty quickly.
And to be clear, I don't know about the latest proposal, but in previous proposals, prosecutors would always have the potential and the capability of trying young 16 and 17-year-olds as adults, but they would have to go through a process to do that. And the difference in our state and in New York is that All 16-year-olds
are slotted as adults,
right.
Yes. And this, we should note, this proposal would still deem 16 and 17-year-olds alleged to have committed violent crimes. They still would be tried as adults. This is for nonviolent crimes.
Let's talk about Facebook cracking down on arguably the most powerful man in North Carolina, Phil Berger, the president pro tem, the leader of the majority party in the Senate, making up his own fake news. Tell us about him.
News and Observer reporters noticed within the last couple of months that pieces that were published by the News and Observer were appearing on Senate pro tem Phil Berger. He's the leader, the Republican leader of the Senate, the most powerful political man in the state. Articles they had written were appearing on his Facebook page, and the headlines had been altered and had been done so in such a way that made it look like the headlines said things that the News and Observer never actually wrote. So the News and Observer asked the Senate pro tem to stop doing this. Facebook has also weighed in and has taken down some of the posts because this action has violated Facebook's policy.
Not only do we get the courts overturning the work of Phil Berger, now Facebook itself is overturning the majority leader, the head of the Senate in North Carolina. Well, let's talk about the national picture. Republicans in Congress pushing through the American Health Care Act. They're replacing Obamacare. What about the congressional delegation here in North Carolina?
Maybe they're pushing it through, right? And North Carolina has 13 U.S. House members. And to put this in perspective, 10 of them are Republicans. Three of them are Democrats. And just by quick count in recent days, it appears as though seven of them, four Republicans and three Democrats, already have severe concerns, if not outright opposition, to this bill. We've heard from some very hard right-liners, Mark Meadows, Mark Walker, David Rauser, Walter Jones, the sort of libertarian congressman from the state. Those conservative folks have big fundamental issues with this bill, and to no one's surprise, the three Democrats as well. It's going to be a stretch for this bill to make it through the U.S. House as is. Probably needs some changes. And in its current form, political experts, people a lot smarter than I, think that this stands just a very slim chance of making it through the U.S. Senate.
Here it is, March, where we feel most acutely the pain of HB2, the economic damage still being done, and well into the future as the reputation of the state remains damaged by HB2. Roy Williams weighed in. And we should talk about this because this is actually Roy Williams in response to the coach by, Syracuse head coach.
Jim Boeheim.
Yeah, and so maybe you can set this up for us, because it's funny, because Roy Williams, you're going to here and here, we have to actually bleep him out. And here's a guy who never uses that kind of language.
So some waves this week at the ACC tournament post-game press conferences. Jim Boeheim, the fine coach of the Harvard of upstate New York, Syracuse University, great school for those that are unaware of it. But the question came to Coach Williams after Boeheim had taken a jab at Greensboro, saying that there was no value in Greensboro. And Williams was asked about that and about the importance of the tournament being in New York, and this was his response.
Are there any advantages media-wise or recruiting-wise to have it in a big city?
You know, it used to be much more so than I think it is now. Now everybody's got social media. We don't need the New York Times to find out what in the Dickens is going on in the country. You know, our president tweets out more bullshit than anybody I've ever seen. So, you know, so we got all kinds of social media. But in the old days, there's no question it was the media capital of the world. But I'm not sure that it is now because media capital of the world is sitting right there, right there, right there.
Here's a guy who says, what in the Dickens? But when he talks about the president of America, the Donald Trump guy, we got to bleep him out. That's great.
So he's pretty good. It was a fresh soundbite from Coach Roy.
I think we should just play it again. Carolina basketball coach Roy Williams, of course. And that means now you're out of the tournament because
Syracuse is 18-14, might get a ticket to the big dance.
They're
out of the ACC tournament. They might get a ticket to the big tournament.
We'll see. Meanwhile, big game tonight. And I will say that Will Stogie Michaels was a wreck today. He just, because of this ACC tournament game.
Well, let me just say this.
Will's, he's useless to us. Will is even, welcome. We had to send him home.
Will is welcome at my house. My wife, her father, two of her uncles, both of her sisters, both of their husbands, a cousin, and her grandfather are all Carolina grads. So no royal blue allowed in our house tonight.
All right. Well, you know me. Go blue. That'll be me forever. Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, how corporate crops are threatening our food supply. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.